This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Tonight's story is entitled When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cracked the boulder. And we'll actually learn about what this actually means in a moment. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions were faced with a threat from the disbelievers. The kuffar of Quraysh joined forces with other Arab tribes who were also disbelievers, and they joined forces also with the Yahud, and they combined efforts to attack Al-Madinah, subhanAllah. And this shows you that the enemies of Islam, even if you leave them alone, they won't leave you alone. They didn't say, oh, the Prophet Muhammad left Mecca and, you know, that's he's gone now, we don't have to worry. They even went to attack the Prophet and the Muslims in Al-Madinah. And of course, in Islam, you're allowed to defend yourself. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, they mustered up 3,000 of the Muslims, 3,000 of the Muslim warriors of the Mujahideen, which also included some of the women as well, to go and defend Al-Madinah and push back this attack from the Kuffar. And the Kuffar had 10,000 in number, subhanAllah. And this was the largest group that has ever attacked the Muslims. And before this, there was never a large group of 10,000. And this battle was called the Battle of Al-Ahzab. What does Ahzab mean? The word Ahzab, boys and girls, is plural for the Arabic word hizb. And a hizb means a group, a party. So not an Eid party, that type of party, right? But you've probably heard of the word political party. You've probably heard this a lot on the news lately, right? The Labour Party, Liberal Party, the politicians, right? Party means a group. So Ahzab literally means groups, because there was groups of the kuffar. They all came to attack the Prophet Muhammad, the Sahaba, the Muslims in Al-Madinah, subhanAllah. And it was also called Ahzab for another reason, because Hazaba in Arabic means to cause you worry and distress. See, Allah could have called it the battle of Al-Jama'at, okay? There's a surah called Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah could have called it Surah Al-Jama'at. Jama'at means groups. So why was it called Ahzab? Because as we said, Hazb or Hazaba also means to cause worry and distress. This was a battle that even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about. This was a battle that even the companions were anxious, they were nervous, they were stressed about. So much so that Al-Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, the great companion, he said that if we wanted to go to the bathroom, we feared even going to the bathroom. They feared going. See, back then, of course, to relieve yourself, you had to go further out and do your business there. They didn't have the modern day toilets that we have today. They said, we were so scared that we even feared, you know, just leaving the Muslims, going, you know, 20 meters to go to the bathroom, subhanAllah. And to make matters worse, they didn't really have food and water. The only food they had was rotten animal fat. Not just animal fat, that's bad enough. Rotten animal fat. You know, people don't even want to eat animal fat. Even if it's halal, they'll say, no, it's gelatin, I don't want to. Even if it says halal gelatin on the lollies, no, I don't want it. And that's a valid, fair opinion, right? We respect that opinion. And there's other opinions that we can also respect as well. So they had to eat. Imagine that. Imagine your mama comes to you tonight. Have you been in lockdown? We're going to have, here you go, on the table, rotten animal fat, your sides. Okay, the main meal is rotten animal fat and a small side of animal fat. It's not rotten. But it's, no, actually, that's a dessert. Dessert is non-rotten animal fat. Right. And what are you drinking? You're probably drinking fat, right? Just a glass of fat. Now, I know we're finding it funny now, but imagine that was your meal, right? You'd be complaining all night long. You probably wouldn't even eat it. Al-Hudhayfa said we were forced to eat that until the rotten animal fat would stick in our throats and a rotten stench would come out, right? Bad breath. So not only are they hungry, are they thirsty? Are they fearful for their life? SubhanAllah, they're terrified. They couldn't even use the bathroom. And look at us, we're so comfortable. Compare what we are facing compared to what they are facing. Yes, it's still tough. We're not denying that. But at the same time, when we look at what they faced, the Sahaba faced, it makes us be more resilient and more patient, inshallah. Not that we can't suffer. They have tests, we have different tests. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us patient and steadfast during these tests. He continues in the narration, he said, we were so scared that we would sleep with our arms under our pillows. Now, arms here means weapons, right? They would sleep with their weapons. Imagine that. Imagine going to bed here, Aisha's bed here. I'm not going to show you, but okay. Aisha's bed, imagine you sleep with a bow and arrow underneath your pillow. Imagine that. Imagine sleeping with a weapon underneath your pillow. That's how scared the Sahaba were. They were that terrified. They're great companions and they're scared. Once again, we've said this before and we'll say it again. It's okay to be scared. It's a normal human emotion. But what does that feed do? If you're scared and that makes you do the wrong thing, then we say no. But if you're scared and you still do the right thing, like Musa alayhi salam, when he was scared, when all the magicians were there, he had 70 at least. One narration says more, 5,000. Another narration says 70. We'll go with the minimum of 70. He was scared, but that didn't stop him. Imagine that. Imagine, and this was Yom Zina. Imagine like the Eid, not the Eid festival, the, what's the Christian one called? The festivals? Not the Royal Christmas Party, the Royal Easter Show. Imagine at the Royal Easter Show, you are facing everyone and they want to see a miracle from you. And all you have is a stick and the 70 magicians in front of you at the Royal Easter Show. Okay, many people probably run away. Now, Musa was scared, but it didn't stop him from doing the right thing. So the Sahaba was scared. So much so, they would sleep with weapons underneath their pillow. SubhanAllah. Or underneath where they would sleep. Imagine that. Imagine you're sleeping, not knowing, you know, you got a weapon underneath your pillow, not knowing whether the ADF, the army, or the police are going to kick down your door because your mask fell off at Woolies or Coles. I shouldn't be laughing. So, know where you are, right? So imagine that. So it was a very, very difficult battle. You see why it was called Ahzab? It wasn't just called Jama'at, because Hazaba, we said, means to cause you worry, to cause you stress, to be very fearful. And this battle was also called, who knows, call it out the screen, even though I can't hear you, the battle of the trench, the battle of the trench, the battle of Al-Khandaq. SubhanAllah. So it was the same battle. So what happened in this battle? The Muslims were tired, hungry, fearful. 10,000 of the kuffar coming to attack. The Sahaba freaking out. Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, great companion, who Sheikh Wasim gave story night about. Salman al-Farisi was from Persia. He had a suggestion. Ya Rasulullah, I have an idea. What did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Did he say, I'm the leader? No, I give the orders around here. The Prophet was a humble man and he took advice from everyone. If it's correct, we'll adopt it. If it's correct, we'll follow it. Compare that to many of us today. Someone gives you advice, akhi, the way you prayed, there's a hadith that says we shouldn't do that. Ukhti, maybe the hijab shouldn't be worn like this, because it exposes a part of the body that shouldn't be exposed. How do we take it? When someone gives us advice, we become arrogant, we become defensive, we make excuses. You know, the early Muslims, they would love when people would correct them because it's helping them get to Jannah. It's helping them become better. Today, when people correct us, you know, we become defensive, we become angry, and we make 101 excuses. We should listen to what they have to say. And you know, we should be grateful. At least that person is honest and telling you, look, there's a problem. Imagine you had something green sticking out of your mouth, right? All day. Hey, guys, how you doing, mate? Hey, fellas, how are you? All right, something's green. No one wants to say anything. What a bad... Imagine that. Wouldn't you be happy if someone finally went up to you and said, hey, you got a green asparagus sticking out of your teeth, right? Oh, jazakallah khairan. How long has this been? Oh, man, I had the asparagus for breakfast. I had it with my eggs. Man, it's been here all day. No one's told me. You'd actually be grateful for someone to correct you, right? To fix your problem. So when next time someone tells us something that is wrong with us, we should be grateful. We should thank them. So going back to the hadith, what did I say? What was I saying? Oh yeah, Salman al-Farisi. So Salman al-Farisi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, back home in Persia, we would dig a trench all around our city or where the enemy was going to attack. And so they wouldn't be able to cross over with their horses. Basically we'll put a barrier around us. Okay, just like they did in Queensland now. There's a red barrier for COVID. Okay, they put a red barrier so people in Queensland can't cross the border. Allah musta'an. It's like we're in Berlin now and in the Nazis and we have to put a border because, you know, so no one dares crosses the street to get, halib and batata from Abu Ahmed, right? But anyway, so he said, we would put a border, we'd dig a huge trench, subhanAllah. And so the Prophet Muhammad said, great, fantastic idea, let's do it. Showing us once again how humble Rasulullah was. And does Rasulullah have to accept his advice? He's a messenger of Allah, a prophet of Allah, receiving wahi from Allah. Yet he takes his advice, subhanAllah, takes his advice. There's some people, they think they know it all. I don't have to listen to that person. Especially sometimes a person who's popular, maybe a person who's a speaker or a person who advises other people. It could be a teacher, it could be a doctor, it could be anyone who talks to people, a counselor, okay? Maybe you're popular, you talk to people. And those types of people sometimes, they don't want to listen. They don't want to listen. They just want to talk and hear themselves talk all the time. But the Prophet ﷺ, he would teach, but he'd also listen. So they start to dig a trench. And it was extremely hot. Imagine digging a trench in the middle of the desert. When Baba asks you to pull out the weeds from the backyard, you have a heart attack. Oh, Baba, really? Okay. All right. Pulling out weeds for an hour is very difficult. It's a big workout. If you've done it, hands up if you've pulled out weeds and you were sore the next day. Hands up. You can see your hands coming up. Amana. Who else? Amana. Anyone else? Pull out weeds. Remember you did a khatab. I got you to do it. I got you. I taught you to deal with that. Amina. I paid you for that. Who else? Like my cup, by the way, I didn't buy it. It was a gift from Miss Naomi. MashaAllah, JazakAllah khairan, Miss Naomi, because I'm her boss. Who else? Anyone else pull out weeds? Only Amana and Khattab and Asma. Okay, how was it? Was it tough? Mm-hmm. It's hard. Imagine digging, not just pulling out weeds, digging. They're digging. It's hot. It's tiresome. They come across a huge boulder. A huge stone. It was so tough and difficult to crack and break. Not only could I not do it, it was breaking the axes and picks of the Muslims, of the Sahaba. Imagine that metal, a metal axe, bang, it would break the axe. No one could break it. They went and called Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man himself. Allahu Akbar. Ya Rasulullah, we need your help here. We need your barakah. He comes, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he do? He goes, he lifts his axe, and as he's lifting his axe, a bit of his shirt comes up, and Jabir, radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahaba, he sees a stone tied to Rasulullah's body. A stone tied to Rasulullah's body. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, and what does this mean, a stone tied to their body? When back then in the time of the Prophet, when someone was hungry, they would tie a stone to their stomach. You know when you get a pain in somewhere, what do? You have a pain in your stomach, what do? You go, ay. You got a pain in your head, you press on it, you apply pressure. So applying pressure actually reduces the pain. So when they were hungry, they would actually apply pressure. And you can't walk around like this, okay, all day. They would actually tie a stone. Rasulullah, a messenger of Allah, is tying a stone to his stomach because he didn't have food. Yes. SubhanAllah. So the next time mom and baba don't have food on time, don't go crazy. Okay, don't get hangry, but be patient. So he had this stone type. Deborah says, okay, and what does he do? He rushes home. He rushes home. And we're going to get to the stone in a moment. Okay, the suspense is probably killing you. He rushes home to his wife. He enters the house. He says, you know, oh, my dear wife, the Prophet alayhi salam, he's, you know, he's got a stone tied to his stomach. He's really hungry. We have to invite him over. Haram. He's a messenger of Allah. Do we have anything? She said, all I've got is a little bit of wheat, so we can make some bread, just a little bit, like a handful, maybe 3 or 4 loaves of bread. And I've got a small sheep, not even a big one, small one we can sacrifice, and we can offer, you know, this meat. So go and invite Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and maybe 1 or 2 of his companions maximum. And it may be Abu Bakr and Umar, that's it, no more than that, because we still need food for us and the kids. I'm like, Hadir. He's about to step out, she grabs him. She goes, Jabir. She looks him. She goes, Jabir, la tafdahna. Don't humiliate us. Don't embarrass us. Okay, we don't bring any more than 2 other than the Prophet ﷺ. I mean, 3 maximum. So you can imagine, right, Jabir? She grabbed his arm. He looked. Okay. Scared of his wife. As many people. Okay. All right. All right. Okay, I only get 3 people. So he rushes, okay, he goes to the Prophet ﷺ. In the meanwhile, while Jabir is being threatened by his wife, the Prophet ﷺ is at the boulder. He lifts up the axe, he brings it down, and it hits the boulder, it cracks. Light comes out. See this light? Imagine, light comes out of the boulder, and the Prophet makes takbir. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet, again, lifts up the axe, brings it down on the boulder, it cracks again. Light comes out, 2nd takbir. Again, 3rd time, cracks the boulder. Not only does it crack, a 3rd time it turns to dust, light comes out, the Prophet makes 3rd takbir, and all the Sahaba erupt in takbirat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Salman al-Farisi witnessed this scene. He saw it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what was that like? And why did you make takbir? SubhanAllah, yani, look at the strength of Rasulullah. He was given the strength of 30 men. 30 men, as one of the narrations mentioned. What was this like? The Prophet ﷺ said, upon the first crack and light came out, Allah Azza wa Jal showed me that we are going to conquer Rome. We're going to conquer the Roman Empire against the Christians, who were the superpower of the time. Imagine you tell the Afghans last year in Afghanistan, you're going to defeat America. All right, someone would have said, yeah, right, man. 20 years, nothing. What happened in 2021? They defeated, they beat America, subhanAllah. With what? Did they beat him with fighter jets and tanks and guided missiles and amazing technology? Guys with guns on pickup trucks, right? They defeated America, subhanAllah. So he said, I saw this light. It's, you know, like a projector. It projects light and you can see something. It was similar to that, yani, in the sense that a light came out and the Prophet saw this vision. He said, we're going to conquer Rome until I saw the white palaces before me. Yani, the Prophet saw that they're going to conquer Rome and he saw white palaces, subhanAllah. He said, on the second crack and the light that came forth, I saw us conquering Persia. That this is a prophecy. The Prophet is saying that we're going to conquer Persia until I saw the red palaces. And then on the third light, I saw that we're going to conquer Al-Yemen. We're going to take over Al-Yemen one day. And that's exactly what happened, subhanAllah, until I could saw the gates of Sana'a open before my very eyes. And many years later, that's exactly what happened to the Muslims. They beat the Romans, they beat the Persians, and they conquered Yemen, subhanAllah. How did the Prophet know this? How did the Prophet Muhammad know this? Miracle from Allah, it's prophecy from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah gave him knowledge of the unseen. Now, the Prophet Muhammad didn't have knowledge of the unseen. Only some things that Allah told him. Okay, the prophets don't know the unseen. Because if prophets knew the unseen, then no harm would come to them. But they are not gods. Prophets are men. So we don't worship men. We worship the creator, Allah Azza wa Jalla. SubhanAllah. Now, what's interesting, boys and girls, is when did the Prophet alayhi salam give these news, give this great news to the companions? Did he give it when the Muslims were victorious? When they beat the kuffar in Badr? Did he say it when they conquered Mecca? Or when they had ruled 3/4 of the globe? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this glad news, this glad tidings, the good news, when the Muslims were at the lowest in the pits. They feed for their lives. They were so scared that they feared even using the bathroom to relieve themselves. They didn't have any food. Teaching us, boys and girls, that when we are in a difficult time, when the ummah is facing hardships and trials and difficulties, this is when we encourage each other with good news and glad tidings, not to make us lose hope and say, oh gosh, look what's happening now. We'll never win. We're never going to get out of lockdown. We're never going to conquer COVID. No. COVID, just as we said last year, COVID cannot stop Ramadan, but Ramadan can stop COVID. COVID can't stop dua, but dua can stop COVID. COVID will never break our spirit. Never. Because no matter what happens to us as Muslims, with an Islamic mindset, you will never be defeated. You know why? Because if the food is all gone from Woolies and Coles, no more food, I'll fast. I mean, isolation, it's seclusion with my family and with Allah Azza wa Jal. I get sick from COVID, it's purification of my sins. And if I die as a shaheed, I die as a martyr, straight to Jannah. Because, as the scholar said, COVID is a respiratory disease and it is similar to tuberculosis. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said about that disease, it's martyrdom. If you die from that, you die as a martyr, subhanAllah. So really, what's the worst it can do to us? So with this mind frame, we're always positive, even in difficult situations. Yes, it's tough, but we know. That doesn't mean we can't face hardship. It's hard. But we know what's going to come later, it's better for us. We know that 100%, we don't doubt. We don't doubt. So the Prophet gave this good news when the Muslims were at the lowest. And likewise, when the Muslims were defeated in Uhud, when the Muslims lost the Battle of Uhud. Now, of course, they won in terms of deen, because if you die even as a Muslim in war, you go to Jannah. But they lost as a worldly defeat. They lost Uhud, but what did Allah say? Allah revealed the ayah, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't worry, don't grieve, don't be sad, don't be depressed. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. You are superior if you are believers. Notice, boys and girls, Allah said what? You are on top, even when they lost, they're at the bottom. SubhanAllah, imagine with the kids teaching kids competition. Okay, you lose, which is okay. Because what you've gained in knowledge and other things is more important. What you discover is more important than what you win. Imagine you lost. You lost and I say, no, you won. So how did I win? I didn't win $500, Mr. Bizri. No, but you won. Oh, why? Because you've learned so much. You've gained experience. You learned things about yourself. You learn you can do things. Right? You can do difficult things. So Allah said you lost, but Allah said you are superior. You're on top. Imagine you lose a race. Someone says you won. How did I win? I lost. No, you won. SubhanAllah, Allah is telling us, even if you lose in dunya, you're a winner. You know why? Because you're a Muslim. The fact that you're a Muslim, that's enough. You've won. You've won. SubhanAllah. So this is how Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching us, even when things are difficult, to always remain positive. And that, yes, it is a dark time for many, but it doesn't stay dark forever. There's always sunlight. And it rains, when it rains, you know, every storm runs out of water. Things will pass. Things will always get easier, inshallah, as long as we're patient on iman and we say alhamdulillah. Going back to Jabir, okay? He runs back to Rasulullah. He probably missed the fireworks, right? What happened? Right? Everyone's like, this stone is cracked, right? Light's coming out. He missed it. He comes back. Okay. Rasulullah, looking around, Ya Rasulullah, come closer, Khattab. I want to tell you something. Ya Rasulullah, my wife, she's invited you and two other companions. Again, fellas, good. Hoping no one heard. And Rasulullah said, what for? Oh, we're going to eat. Got some food. Rasulullah asked him, what do you have? Oh, we've got one. How's it going? Okay, the coast is clear. We've got one small sheep and three loaves of bread. You and Abu Bakr Ahmad, that's it. Alhamdulillah, no one else heard. All right. The Prophet said, may Allah bless you. May Allah give you extra goodness and khair. The Prophet stands up. What does he say? He says, Ya Ahl al-Khandaq. Ya Ahl al-Khandaq. O people of the Khandaq. Jabir yad'ukum. Ila Baiti, Jabir is inviting you to his house for food. You can imagine Jabir, my wife's going to kill me. Allahu Akbar. He said, Ya Rasulullah, invite two. The Prophet didn't invite 200. He invited over 1,000 men at Al-Khandaq. and they were all hungry. Some of them were so hungry, they're on the floor just sleeping. They're working hard. You know, a person who works isn't like a person who doesn't. A person who works, imagine Baba, he comes home, he had a hard day at the office, hard day at work, lifting, building, driving, right? He's hungry. As opposed to at home, you're just snacking, you know, you don't really feel like a big meal. Or maybe some of you do, kids. So you can imagine the hardworking men, Sahaba, Jabir is inviting you to his house. Ya Rasulullah, what have you done? He said, Ya Rasulullah. He said, but we don't have much. The Prophet said, it's okay. It's okay, I know. So you can imagine now all the Sahaba, 1,000 of the Sahaba are going to the house of Jabir. Jabir says, I ran home. I beat everyone. I ran home to warn my wife. He runs home. He says, Fudahna, Fudahna. We've been exposed. We're going to be humiliated. But a badly. That's it. We're done. Finished. She says, wow, what happened? She said, the Prophet, he said, she goes, what's happening? Who's coming? He goes, the Ansar and the Muhajireen. Everyone's coming. She says, Qatalak Allah, what have you done? What have you done? I remember that when I grabbed you, now I'm going to really grab you. What have you done? She says, wait. Who told you to bring everyone? Didn't I tell you? This happens a lot. Sometimes Mama, she tells Baba, all right, yalla, food's ready. Oh, I'm out with the boys. Okay, invite a couple of your friends, yalla. All right? And, you know, yalla, boys, we're going to my house. Okay? And on the way, he gets a phone call from Habib. Yeah, Habib, what are you doing? Nothing. Going to grab a feed. Where? My house. Can I come? He hesitates. Oh, my wife. Yeah, yalla, come. It's all right. Come, yalla. Bismillah. What's one more going to do? And then Habib calls Habiba, calls his wife to sit with his you know, the other brother's wife. And then he calls Abdullah, and he calls Bilal, and he calls Omar. And soon everyone comes. What have you done? You invited the whole party, all of Bankstown, all of Lakemba, all of Preston's, all of Liverpool. Okay. We're in lockdown. We're going to get in trouble. She says, wait, who told you to bring everyone? He said, Rasulullah. He said, in that case, we trust in whatever Rasulullah says. In that case, khalas, we believe. If Rasulullah said it, it's the truth. SubhanAllah, look at her iman. Look at her iman. She didn't sit there, let's do a mathematical calculation, the equation. Okay, we have 1,000 companions times 2.5 meals. Okay, so that's 2,500 plates. So divided one sheep, we're going to cut this one sheep into 2,500 pieces. And by my calculations, this is wrong, because according to modern science and my mathematical calculations, basic physics and logic, this does not work. This is the way of the kuffar. This is the way of a non-Muslim. This is the way of a disbeliever thinking when they put dunya over deen. Now, a Muslim, yes, we follow the natural laws of the world. But at the same time, if Allah Azza wa Jalla wants a miracle to happen, Allah will make it happen, even if against all odds. It's a naql over aql, which means revelation above reasoning. Sometimes we don't understand why Allah said it, why Rasulullah said it, but that's why we're Muslim. That's the meaning of Islam. Islam means al-istislam. I submit. I give up. I don't understand, but I give up to you, Ya Allah, because you know best. That's Islam. We surrender and we submit. Yeah, sometimes you want to understand. You ask a teacher, you ask a parent, you ask a sheikh. That's fine. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. And if we don't know, that's okay. You know why it's okay? Because we're not meant to know everything. I know we live in 2021, and some people on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and social media think they know everything. And sometimes people want to know everything. Well, guess what? It's never going to happen. You know, even Rasulullah didn't know everything. Allah told him to say to people, I've been given a little bit of knowledge, a little bit. SubhanAllah, everything Rasulullah knows is a little bit compared to what Allah knows. True, everything Rasulullah knew, it's a little bit. Imagine that Quran, Hadith, everything the Prophet gave and advised. He had over 1,000 miracles. He gave so much advice, even to do with ruqya and medicine. Yeah, he used to say to the people, I've only given a little bit of knowledge, qalila, SubhanAllah. So yeah, we're not meant to understand everything. We're not meant to know everything. So know this, you're not meant to know everything. Understand this, you're not meant to understand everything. Sometimes we say, Alhamdulillah, we just accept it. Do you understand how your eye works? You don't. Do you understand how your body digests food? You don't exactly know. Do you understand how your heart beats by itself? We don't. We accept. Do you understand how your body takes protein and makes it, and, you know, produces muscle with it and carbohydrates and produces energy? We don't know exactly how that happens, subhanAllah. Yes, some people do, some people don't. But we don't understand everything, and that's okay. That's okay. If we're not even going to understand everything with the creation, how are we going to understand everything with the Creator? Sometimes people, they have doubts about Islam, they have doubts about Quran, I don't understand. Well, Habibi, you don't even understand yourself. You think you're going to understand everything about Allah? And that's why sometimes questions that we don't delve into too much, because Allah, if Allah didn't tell us about it, Rasulullah didn't tell us about it in terms of our religion, then we leave it. We don't go too much into it. Because if Allah didn't tell us, if Rasulullah didn't tell us, it's not important. But for dunya, yeah, you can go and study and learn, no problem. No problem. Because Allah told us, ask the people of knowledge. And, you know, we can ask the people of knowledge in various fields and sciences. So going back to the story, Jabir, he said, his wife says, khalas, if Rasulullah said it, that's fine. The Prophet ﷺ told Jabir very strict orders. He said, when you go home, do not remove the lid of the cooking pot. Do not stir the meat. Do not touch the ajin, the dough. He gets there, 1,000, over 1,000 of the Sahaba are outside Jabir's house. The Prophet ﷺ tells the wife of Jabir, Ud'i khabbaza, get another woman to help you make the bread. She goes, Ya Rasulullah, another woman? I've only got enough to make 3 or 4 loaves. I don't need. He goes, you don't know what's about to happen. Get another woman. She calls her friend, someone she knows, to help her make the ajin, the dough to make the bread. She didn't need help if it's only 3 loaves, but she doesn't know what's about to happen. The Prophet told the Jabir, bring only 10 in, 10 companions in at a time. Only allow 10 and tell them not to crowd and not to push and just take a seat. And do not remove the lid and do not stir the pot. I'll do it. The Prophet was on cooking duty, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir invites 10. The Prophet, alayhi wa sallam, stirring. And he and his Jabir's wife gives the Prophet, alayhi wa sallam, the bread. The Prophet cuts it up, gives it to Jabir with the meat, puts it on a plate. Jabir hands it out. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, those 10 men ate to their fill. They ate till they were full. They left. I looked towards the pot and the bread. Nothing was decreased. Nothing was decreased. The wife of Jabir says, every time we took some dough out, a new batch of dough miraculously came forth. Every time the Prophet put the lid back onto the pot and took it off again, the same amount of meat was there. Another 10 came in. They ate to their fill. They left. Another 10 came in. They ate until they were full. Left. Another 10 came in. Also ate till they couldn't eat anymore. Another 10. 10 upon 10 upon 10. Jabir said, the dough did not decrease. The meat did not decrease. SubhanAllah. How many came? 100 lots of 10, which is over 1,000. They all ate till they were full. They couldn't eat anymore. These are hungry men. You know, sometimes when Baba has one meal, okay, you can eat 3 or 4 plates, 3 or 4 times what you can eat. Men who were working hard are even more hungrier. Allahu Akbar. And then at the end, there was still food. The same amount from the barakah and miracle of the Prophet ﷺ. Same amount. The Prophet told Jabir's wife, he said, give to your family and also call others. Call your neighbors, call your friends. They all came. They took what they needed and there was still food left over. SubhanAllah. This was a miracle given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing. And the Prophet alayhi wa sallam was given many miracles. This was a miracle that in terms of dunya, and the Prophet was given different miracles to, of course, convince the people. And among them, of course, we know when water flowed from his fingers at Hudaybiyah, when the camel spoke to him, when the moon split into two, so much so that Allah mentioned the whole Surah Al-Qamar. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. And this was recited at Jum'ah. It was recited on Eid. So it was something that was known, it was recited so much that even the kuffar couldn't deny it. Even the kuffar couldn't say, no, this didn't happen. No, even they saw it. Even they saw it, subhanAllah. And if this was a lie, they would have said this was a lie. But even that, and this was in the Quran, subhanAllah. Many miracles were given to the Prophet, but the greatest miracle was the miracle of Quran. Why was the miracle of Quran the greatest miracle given to the Prophet? I'll mention this and we'll end here. Because every Prophet was given a miracle to convince the people at the time. So depending on what was common, what was famous, then the Prophet would come with a miracle to convince the people, to show them they were truly from Allah. So in the time of Musa alayhi salam, what was common? What was common, Aisha? She was up on her bed. What was common? Magic, yeah? Magic was common. So Musa was given something that would defeat magic. Isa alayhi salam, when he came, what was popular and common? People excelled in medicine. So people excelled in medicine. So Isa alayhi salam came with something that was better than medicine. He would wipe over people and they would cure. They would be cured and healed. Imagine someone's got COVID. Okay, Isa alayhi salam, if he was alive today, he'd wipe and that's it. He would just wipe and the COVID's gone. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet alayhi salam was given similar miracles to the earlier prophets, but because he was a prophet sent to everyone, true, he wasn't a prophet sent to Quraysh only. He wasn't sent to the Christians only. He wasn't sent to Arabia only. He wasn't sent to Bani Israel only. He was sent to all of mankind. So he needs to come with a miracle that's going to last forever. True? The miracle of the stick of Musa, you can't see it now. It happened then. Isa alayhi salam wiping over people, curing. You can't see it now. It's temporary. True? It happened at that time, that place. We can't see it now. The Quran, it's the greatest miracle because it's an everlasting miracle. Ever lasts forever. SubhanAllah. It happened in the time of the Prophet. Someone says to you, and you ask a Christian, show me the miracle of Jesus now. They can't show you. Ask a Jew, show me the miracle of Moses now. I want to see the ocean split. Show me. Can't show you. Ask a Muslim, show me the miracle of the Prophet Muhammad. Takes out the Mus'haf. Here you go. Fadlan. There you go. Read. There's the miracle right there. No mistakes. No mistakes. SubhanAllah. Imagine that. Imagine, you know, I write my Seen Once the book. I'm still fixing it. It's been a year. Still fixing it. Still mistakes. You know, we're writing stories in stage 2 and 3. We're still fixing it. We're still finding errors. Never did an ayah come down from the Quran and the Prophet said, wait, I made a mistake. Never. It came down perfect. First time, last time, every time. Every time the Quran, from first ayah to the last ayah, perfect every single time. Never, wait, I made a mistake, never. SubhanAllah. It came down, it stayed that way until now and until the day of judgment. Perfect. And guess what? The Quran can be recited in many different ways. And even when you recite it in different ways, they're called the ahruf and the qira'at, it doesn't change the meaning. Maliki and Maliki Yawmuddin. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. You see, there's different ways of reciting particular ayat. It doesn't change the meaning. More miraculous. Imagine I held a book. Do I have a book here? Imagine I held a book. Yeah. Hold a book. This book, okay, this e-book, no mistakes beginning to end. That's amazing. But imagine I said, you can read this book in 7 different ways, still no mistakes. That's beyond miraculous. That's divine. It means it's from Allah. SubhanAllah. That even the non-Muslims realized it's the truth. But of course, back then, many of them had kibr, had arrogance, they didn't want to accept. But the Quran is our greatest miracle. So we ask Allah to make us among people of the Quran, to learn the Quran, read the Quran, understand the meanings of the Quran. And we upload the tafsir for kids every Monday on Dojo. You know, what those videos learn about the short surah that you recite every day. How come when you're praying, okay? Okay, we're praying and we're so tired and we don't understand, you know, because we're not understanding what we're reciting. Okay, you're praying and looking at the TV sometimes, some kids do. You're laughing because you know what happens, because we don't understand the meanings. So let's watch those videos, understand what we're reciting, and inshallah, it'll improve our salah. Jazakumullah khairan. Sunnah Life, hope you enjoyed story night. If you have any suggestions, for a story that we should talk about next week, let us know. Feel free to unmute yourselves, start your video, as long as you've asked your parents. Inshallah, mama's wearing hijab. If she's there with you, make sure you ask. Okay, I've allowed you now. I hear someone snoring. Is that my kids? Or someone? Mashallah Ishaq, thanks for joining us, my friend.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
Probably the battles. The Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of the Trench.
So we've taken the Battle of the Trench tonight. We didn't finish it, by the way, the Battle of Al-Ahzab. Maybe next week we can finish it, perhaps.
Any battles that we haven't done?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe next week we can do the Battle of the Trench. We can finish it.
Or probably the story of Idris.
That's an interesting one. I don't actually know it that well, so maybe I should research it. Abdullah, mashallah, thanks for joining us. I liked your background. How have you been?
Me too.
That was a nice background. Al Tariq boys are with us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sir.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Who's that? Is that Afraz?
Yes.
MashaAllah. Thanks for joining us, Afraz.
Sir, did you know that recently NASA found a 300-kilometer rift in the moon? And it's theorized that was like where the moon split.
SubhanAllah. I didn't know that. There you go, boys and girls. So we said this happened in the time of the Prophet, and NASA found a rift where the moon actually split. SubhanAllah. There you go. Once again, yani what we have in our deen, alhamdulillah, people have discovered. And these are all signs of the truth. Okay, we're going to have a competition now, as usual. Ruin the whiteboard competition.
Yay.
All right. I know you're doing it. Put a nice nasheed. There we go. I like this first nasheed. Abdullah Issa is requesting remote control of your screen. What the hey?
إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنها في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال املأ الأرواح حبا أبيضا وانسى آلاما قضت فيما مضى هذه الأيام تحلو قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال أبدا لا لن نحيد عن خطى الإيمان دربنا درب قويم بالهدى القرآني
أبدا لا لن نحيد أبدا لن نحيد أبدا لن نحيد عن خطى الإيمان دربنا درب قويم دربنا درب قويم بالهدى القرآن سائر في طريق الحق يا جند الله سائر في طريق الحق يا جند الله جند الله جند الله جند الله جند الله عهدا علينا أسود العرين نمضي أمام
All right, guys.
عهدا علينا أسود العرين نمضي أماما أبد لا نلين
Oh guys, I need to go hoop. I mean, I need to go عدنا جنودا yeah, play some basketball. Time to go, guys. I'm going to be playing, I'm going to be hooping on our Nintendo Wii Esports. It's a different. We're like, hoop here, hoop there. Are you done ruining my whiteboard?
No.
Hey.
ولا بد يوما سيرجع الأقصى ليحيى الفداء بطول المدى ولا بد يوما سيرجع الأقصى بطول المدى
أبد لا نحيد لجنات ربي سأرى الشهيد عند ربه دوما أبد لا
نحيد
girls are gonna win
no way
أبدا لا نحيد أبدا لا نحيد عن خطى